House will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Yes.
Blake. Flickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Botten.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell. Campbell. Kennedy.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison. Davison. Edmonds.
Here.
Eklund. Eklund. Esquivel.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Here.
Green.
Here.
Harshman. Harshman. Harvey.
Here.
Hunt. Hunt. Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparic.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux. Laux. Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz. Nicholas.
Here.
Moniz. Moniz. Nicholas.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley.
Here.
Pedersen.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Korberg.
Here.
Roscoe.
Here.
Semlek. Semlek.
Excused.
Click excused. Shepperson.
Here.
Steward.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Teeters.
Here.
Throne. Throne.
Here.
Ronish.
Here.
Wallace.
Zwanitzer
Dan.
Excused.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Here.
Mr. Speaker.
Here.
Blake.
Blake. Excused.
Blake excused. Campbell.
Excused.
Campbell excused. Davison.
Excused.
Davison excused. Eklund.
Excused.
Eklund excused. Harshman.
Here.
Hunt.
Excused.
Hunt excused. Laux.
Excused.
Laux excused. Moniz.
Excused.
Moniz excused. 50 present, 10 excused.
Please stand for the morning prayer with Pastor Robert Schmidt from St. Paul's Lutheran Church.
Let us pray. Lord God, creator of this world, we thank you for the creation of this state. We thank you for the people of this state. We thank you for the government of this state. Today we ask blessings upon all those who are involved in the government of Wyoming. Especially today, we ask prayers upon the House of Representatives as they serve Wyoming and its great citizens. We ask that you keep them safe from all harm and all danger, that they may continue to do your work to serve the people. Lord God, bless them and strengthen them in your spirit, we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Morning. That's right. That's the way I feel. Good morning. Good morning.
We are at that order of business, Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of January 19th, 2011 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Kasparek, Representative Freeman.
And today we have the Doctor of the Day, Amy Trelease Bell from Cheyenne. Please welcome her. And I kind of messed up there because I must be getting old, but I'd like to call on Representative Throne for privilege of the floor to introduce the good doctor.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And you are younger than I am. Well, you already know the good doctor's name. Dr. Trelease Bell is with the UW Family Practice Center, which is in my district, where she's, she has a new title, the Associate Program Manager. So she's helping to train our doctors of the future, and she's a native of Cheyenne, Cheyenne East graduate. And so welcome her again.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Illoway.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor, please.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, those of us in Cheyenne know about Warren Air Force Base. Those of you around the state may know of Warren Air Force Base, but it's one of three missile bases in the United States. And today it's my pleasure to welcome in the North Balcony Colonel Greg Timms, who's 90th Missile Wing Commander, Colonel Scott Fox, 90th Missile Wing Vice Commander, Colonel Don Adams, 90th Maintenance Group Commander, Colonel Sean Boyle, 90th Mission Support Group Commander, Colonel Fran Vastafaldorf, 90th Medical Group Commander, and Mr. Barry Kistler, 90th Missile Wing Director of Staff. Please welcome them.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
In balcony up on my left, we have from the oasis of southwest Wyoming, the great town of Lyman, Not Green River. It's Lyman. We have our mayor and his wife, Angie, and Ginger Hewitt, and a councilman, Janet Condas.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to stand here and bring to you the finest products out of the Bridger Valley, which is over in Uinta County. Today we have the mayor of Mountain View, Mr. Scott Dillinger, Councilman Barbara Hamlin, and Councilman Jamie Farron. Would you please extend a hand of welcome to the House?
We are at that order of business, reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom is referred House Bill 101, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Botten, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, McKim, McComey, Petroff, Shepperson, signed representing McComey, Chairman.
We are now at that order of business, bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 2.
House Bill 2, introduced by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to health insurance, Wyoming Health Insurance Pool Sunset.
House Bill 2, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 3.
House Bill 3, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to alcohol regarding liquor license transfers.
House Bill 3, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 4.
House Bill 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to insurance background checks.
House Bill 4, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 9.
House Bill 9, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to insurance regarding licensure revisions.
House Bill 9, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 15.
House Bill 15, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to weed and pest control.
House Bill 15, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 30.
House Bill 30, introduced by Representative Gingrey, an act relating to judgment liens.
House Bill 30, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 76.
House Bill 76, introduced by Representative Escobel, an act relating to game and fish regarding game and fish turkey pioneer licenses.
House Bill 76, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 87.
House Bill 87, introduced by the Management Council, an act relating to general revision of laws, obsolete laws, and general revisions.
House Bill 87, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 98.
House Bill 98, introduced by Representative Stubson, an act relating to bar and grill liquor licenses.
House Bill 98, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 109.
House Bill 109, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Infrastructure Authority.
House Bill 109, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 110.
House Bill 110, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to civil actions regarding successor corporation asbestos-related liability.
House Bill 110, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 113.
House Bill 113, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Pipeline Authority.
House Bill 113, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 2.
House Joint Resolution 2, introduced by Representative Croker, a resolution requiring the U.S. Constitution to have a balanced budget.
House Joint Resolution 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in the balcony, we have Mrs. Landry in fifth grade class from Paradise Valley, Casper, Wyoming.
Welcome to the House. We are at that order of business, third reading and final passage, consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills: House Bill 20, House Bill 21, House Bill 86, and House Bill 100.
Does anyone wish to have any bill removed from the consent list? The reading clerk will read the consent list bills.
House Bill 20, introduced by the Select Development Intellectual Program Labor and Health Committee, an act relating to Medicaid reimbursement of services, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 21, introduced by Representative Barbudo, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding battery against a family member, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 86, introduced by Representative Croker, an act relating to compulsory school attendance, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 100, introduced by Representative Shepperson, an act relating to game and fish land acquisition, be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? And the chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Gay excused. Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Krohn.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden. McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe. Roscoe. Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Peters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Braunisch.
Aye.
Wallace.
Zwanitzer
Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Roscoe. Roscoe.
Excused.
Roscoe excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 20, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused. As to House Bill 21, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Roscoe? House Bill 21 on the consent list? Brechtel? Aye to no. Peasley? Aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Roscoe, would you like to register a vote? Aye. Roscoe, aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 55 ayes, 3 noes, 2 excused. As to House Bill 86, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. Roscoe? Aye. Aye. 2 excused. As to House Bill 100, are there any changes? Brown, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Roscoe, an aye vote. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Blake, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 20, 21, 86, and 100 have passed the House. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 72.
House Bill 72, introduced by Representative Madden, an act relating to the State Superintendent of Public Instruction regarding teacher merit pay, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move at this time House Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 72 and ask for your favorable consideration. Mr. Speaker, this amendment is simply a cleanup that was really left out of my amendment yesterday, and it talks about really who's going to staff this task force or small committee, and we do that with the Legislative Service Office. Right now, it's just hanging out there, it doesn't say. So I'd ask you to consider this and pass it, and then we can move on to the other amendments, which are more substantive. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question having been called, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 72 say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. We have a third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 72. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 72. Essentially, what I'm doing on line 13 is making a minor change to the Harshman Amendment that would allow the chairman of the education committees in both houses to chair the committee that was created by his amendment yesterday. The section 3 that I'm adding on line 27 states that if we do enact Senate File 70, which is the Educational Accountability Act, if it is enacted into law, we roll the responsibilities of the committee that was created by this bill into that committee and dissolve that component of the legislation so that the new Select Committee on Educational Accountability would actually be the committee to take up the issue of merit pay. And I would stand for questions.
Representative Madden, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This isn't too bad of an amendment in my judgment. The top half of it has the kind of the spirit that I was looking for in it. You know, there's nothing material difference. You know, if you look at the makeup of that committee, you can see that there's input by the players in the plan. I looked at the second part when I was kind of drawing up this bill earlier, and this is a 17-member board, the way it looks, and there's a dilution, I think, on the part of the players that's going to be involved in this, and we talked about buy-in and who has to buy in, and all the literature in these performance pay on the subject of performance pay says that you really got to have a buy-in by the players. The legislature will buy into it because It's one of the few things that can be done to increase student achievement at almost a zero cost. The other thing about this committee is that if you look at Senate File 70, it's by and large, it's a punitive committee. You know, they're setting up a series conditions that will be imposed upon you if you don't meet certain quality criteria. So it's kind of the stick part of the thing, which I'm not arguing the merits of here. But I'm just wondering if you put a carrot type thing in there where you're trying to increase quality by encouraging productivity of the teachers, if that's something within their purview. But do what you like with this one. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? First time? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just encourage the body to adopt this amendment. I think it really does three things, and it doesn't change the governor appointment, but the governor appointment I think is important. Gives a broader view. Having the chairman of House and Senate Education, I think, is important because they're going to be dealing with these issues. And then the third thing, does away with the small task force when the bigger task force, if it becomes law. I think that's really important. We have so many efforts going on in this body right now, and it'll be at some point we'll have to pull it together. And I applaud the chairman. I think this is the first step in that direction. So I'd urge the body to move and adopt this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? For your second time? Second time, Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do appreciate the good work of the representative from Buffalo on this. This is a good piece of legislation. I think this amendment makes the bill stronger. I just want to put the body's mind at ease about the select committee that's being created in Senate File 70. It is a 10-member committee, 5 members from each house, so tie votes die. We created it that way intentionally. There is going to be a larger group of people that are going to sit on the design team, but they don't actually have a vote on the select committee. So that's the way that process is set up. When that bill comes through, we can debate the merits of how that's constructed, but I think this takes it in the right direction, and it prevents us from having to sit on multiple select committees. So I would urge your adoption.
You're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 72. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 72 has been adopted. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 72 and ask for your favorable consideration. On the first important thing that I have included on this is beginning on line 10. It seemed to me that in the laundry list of people who were involved in this process, that we had in fact left out the most important component of the educational system, and that's the parents. And, you know, we give a lot of lip service, and the educational bureaucracy gives a lot of lip service to the need to include parents. And here we just simply left them off. So I stuck in a parent. And then secondly, on line 16, that paragraph says that the committee may, with the approval of management council, contract with private sector consultants with expertise in human resource optimization, the use of merit-based compensation, and the establishment of objective evaluation systems to drive excellence to assist the committee with developing recommendations under this section. My thinking behind this is simply that the educational system does not have any expertise in building and administering effective evaluation systems based on merit pay, and that the private sector has been doing this for years and have developed a tremendous amount of expertise, and that this just simply allows for that group, whoever they ultimately wind up being, to be able to call in some of these experts from the private sector who do understand how you can set up these systems without making them penalizing teachers or setting up a situation that creates unfairness in the whole situation. So I felt like that was something that could certainly be used. And of course, if we're going to provide them with that ability, we need to provide them with a way to pay for it. Because the private sector, unlike some sections and most sections of government, can't afford to spend their precious time for nothing. So it includes an appropriation to pay for it, and the appropriation for the consultants would come out of the school foundation program, and then includes a also a small appropriation to pay for the LSO expenses out of the general fund. With that, I would ask for your vote and stand to answer any questions.
For your first time, Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This aspect of the thing is the thing I have the most concern about. Anytime you start getting a consultant involved with it, the ownership of the product starts to drift from the players, the principals in the thing, and it flows to the consultant itself. You know, and all you got to do is look at what's happening with our recalibration model. You've been getting the same emails I've been getting and reading the same articles in the paper, and what it is a big feud over who has the input in the thing. Now, the methodology in doing one of these merit pay systems for something specialized for school teachers is very simple. Well, it's not simple, but it's very limited in the sense that there's only a finite number of jurisdictions that have these merit pay systems. And it's unique. There's unique things that work. In my research, it shows there's unique characteristics, unique criteria that have to be developed and have been tried, and some have failed and some have made it. You look at all these successful ones, find out how they have had to tweak theirs so we don't have to ever tweak ours. And, I just really don't think that we're into the type of analysis that requires $60,000 of some out-of-state probably consultant. That's my opinion.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd given lieu of the testimony from the good representative, the sponsor of this bill, I'd move to divide the amendment number 3. And Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'd like to divide it lines 10 through 13 on your amendment. Page 1, lines 10 through 13 would be division number 1. And the rest of the amendment would be division number 2. And so, Mr. Speaker, and correct me, but I believe that we would just simply divide this into two issues, adding the parent, which we can talk about on its merit, and then the part brought up by the good representative from Johnson County, whether we need to hire more outside consultants for our Wyoming model.
The proposed division of the amendment appears divisible, so the first part would be lines 10 through 13, and then the remainder of the amendment will be part 2. And we'll take up the part 1 first. So, Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd encourage the body to vote for amendment division number 1. I think it's adding parents is always a good thing. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question having been called on the division part 1 of third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 72, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division 1 of third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 2 has been adopted. We are now on Division 2 of the amendment. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and in support of Division 2, it's going to be a rare occasion that you'll see me stand up here and say that we need some consultant work. But on the issue of merit pay, I don't know that we have the expertise in-house because it's something that's new to the state. We're not doing it here. I really think it would be good to have the option to bring in some people in other states that have worked on merit pay, because we really don't even know where to begin. We've got to create a system in merit pay that is not arbitrary, and that's the biggest concern that I have. We don't want principals just handing money out to their favorite teachers. So what we've got to do is it's got to be tied to data. I'm not convinced that we have the expertise in-house to do that, and I think it would be perfectly appropriate to allow the committee the opportunity to bring someone in to maybe talk about that. That being said, I don't imagine that we'll spend the full $50,000, if any, and it would be nice to have the option. So I would ask for your support.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to point out that the key piece for me in this amendment is the ability to bring someone in from the private sector. What I'm envisioning here is not hiring an educational merit pay consultant from a different state. What I'm envisioning here is this committee being able to utilize some of the vast experience and expertise in the private sector with the proper way to set up compensation systems. And that expertise is available and readily available right here in the state of Wyoming. There are many successful businesses and corporations who have done this, are doing this, and have been doing this for a long time. Secondly, this is not a mandate. The committee can use this if they choose. If they decide not to, or if they don't use the entire amount, the money simply reverts back to the school foundation program.
We are, go ahead. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A lot of the work's been done with our state government already by a group. The leader of the group is from New Zealand. He's been to the state many times. He's really changed our state compensation system dramatically. The Select Committee on School Recalibration use this consultant as well to look at pay ranges, those kind of things. I think it's fine if it's a permissive deal. But I would just tell you, I think we do a lot of stuff with consultants, and then we listen to them, and then we kind of do it our Wyoming way anyway. But I don't think it's a bad thing to have that option out there to go ahead and hire whoever the committee feels it might be, whether there's some experts in the education field that have done it or what have you. So, I guess it's probably no harm done, but when I look at school foundation funds, that's one kindergarten teacher right there. Bam. Gone. So, these things, when we make choices like these, we can do anything we want, but we can't do everything. So that's my only caution to the body. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rising on and in favor of Division 2. I do also like the fact that the language is that they can decide. I think that will help the committee. I know, having spent a lot of time looking at merit pay, particularly in the public education sector, that the devil's in the details, and it can get exceedingly complicated, and I think it can be, it will be some difficult decisions that will have to be made. And having someone neutral, from a neutral setting, coming in to speak, I think can be invaluable, because we can get into an echo chamber. And particularly in education, it can become an echo chamber. And there's two very strong sides to the idea of merit pay in public education. And I'm not going to go through what those two sides are, but there's going to be a lot there. The devil's definitely in the details. So I think this is a good tool, a really important tool that the committee can use if they feel like they're getting bogged down in that echo chamber. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just in reviewing these, not being opposed to it, but just like to mention that there are two parties that are principals in this that I seem to be avoided in the discussion of participation, and that's the State Board of Education. Number one, I think they are a player and ought to be involved. Number two is the College of Education at the University of Wyoming, who has never been contacted with any of these. They are principal players in the educational field, really do have an expertise, not necessarily in merit pay. However, they do have an impact on the students that they are working with, and they provide approximately 50% of all the educators in the state of Wyoming.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Whether it's relevant or not, you know, I think when we had first reading on this, I pointed out to you that I serve on the Compensation Commission for the state, the Employee Compensation Commission. And I don't know how complicated that is. There's a lot of different departments, thousands of employees, and it was done through A&I. It was done through the Compensation Commission and with the assistance of the department heads and the administrators and things like that. There was no $50,000 study, and it came out okay. I mean, it came out very good. Everybody's happy with it. We all agree on what the criteria is, and it's ready to go as soon as this budget is approved in a few weeks. So, you know, I think that we're kind of selling our committee short on expertise. It's not a difficult thing, and it certainly is unique to the teaching profession. It's unlike any other compensation study that you'll find. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, when I first saw this, I thought, I don't want a consultant either. And the comments is the devil's in the details. Teachers don't like the idea of merit pay, and I've got several emails on saying, what are we doing? But I think we do need a study, and I think that an outside consultant outside of education may be a fresh look at the whole situation. There are hundreds, if not thousands, of good teachers, and they're all different, and they all have merit. And to come up with a system, I think, needs a fresh outlook, and I think it needs an outside outlook. So I would encourage you to vote for the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Wallace.
Mr. Speaker, I would just appreciate the testimony that has been previously offered, and I'll just call for the question.
Question having been called on Division 2 of House, Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 72. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Division 2 of Third Reading Amendment Number 3 to House Bill 72 has passed. Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would withdraw Third Reading Amendment Number 4 to House Bill 72.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We now have Third Reading Amendment Number 5 to House Bill 72. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I submit Third Reading House Bill Number 5 and would respectfully ask the body to adopt the amendment. Basically, all I'm doing is taking out the appointment of the members to the committee that are not the members of the legislature. Instead of having the governor appoint them, have them appointed by the state superintendent of public instruction. I believe that the state superintendent of public instruction is a position that is a state statewide elected official. Voters of our state have charged that position with overseeing education, and I just believe it's more appropriate to have that position make the appointments rather than the governor. I would stand for any questions.
Anyone else for the first time? First time. Second time. Second time, Representative Croker.
I would call for the question.
Question having been called on third reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 72. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. The amendment has failed. We are on third reading amendment number 6 to House Bill 72. Representative Croker.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw amendment number 6.
Amendment number 6 to House Bill 72 has been withdrawn. House Bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman
possible
Hogers.
Point of order. I guess I would think the negative vote, since we aren't sure exactly how many people are left on the floor, shouldn't they be counted?
Well, 25, and we've got 59, unless you're telling me there's even less people on the floor.
It's okay.
Well, there were only 25 in favor. Okay, House Bill 72, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickry.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Brechtel. Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers. Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart, Lauks,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Braunisch,
aye.
Wallace,
Swanitzer
Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Madden, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
House Bill 72, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of members elected to the House, House Bill 72 has passed the House. We are at that order of business, consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into committee of the whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The House is resolved in committee of the whole. Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Committee of the Whole will come to order. First up, Representative Brechtel.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, again up in the balcony here, we have another group of fifth grade kids from PV Paradise Valley School, Casper, Wyoming. Would you please give them a hand?
First bill for our consideration is House Bill 8. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 8, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Traditional Food Act. This bill was referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Swanitzer, Dan, signed Representative Semlek, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Semlek?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 8 do pass. Mr. Chairman, there is a standing committee amendment, which I will move at the appropriate time when the bill is discussed. Just some general comments, members of the House, with respect to this bill and companion issues similar to this that this body has discussed over the last two or three years, with trying to provide additional opportunities throughout the state for ag producers to market food directly to consumers. Those types of issues, I tell you, have struggled somewhat with some concerns that we have for the safety of our food safety issues. But this is one issue in the Wyoming Traditional Food Act that has come up with respect to some areas around our state. The department who inspects food establishments has tried to get involved in some of these traditional family gatherings that we've had around the state, and with respect to inspection and licensure requirements, and so we brought this bill for your consideration to try to clarify which of these activities that we've done for years around this state that are traditional activities, and to discuss the more of the details of this bill. I would turn that discussion over to the good colleague from House District 52. She has worked on this issue for several years and is probably our resident expert on this issue, and would ask her to discuss the details of this bill.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Wyoming Traditional Food Act is the direct result of the Agriculture Committee's work over the interim. Addressing these issues were their number one priority for interim study. And during the first meeting of the Joint Committee, it was decided to separate the two main concepts that were encapsulated in the food freedom bill that we considered the last time, which passed this House, if not unanimously, very nearly so. I don't remember the exact count. What you see before you is one of those two concepts, and it is directly addressing a change and a very aggressive imposition by inspectors around the state, not only our State Department, but county. There are several counties. The county in the top left corner, the county in the bottom right corner, and the county in the middle of the state with large urban for Wyoming centers all have county departments. And what they have been doing for the last couple of years is telling people that your traditional potlucks, that your churches, your communities, your schools have been having for millennia, are no longer allowed. That if you are going to serve food, especially if you were going to serve food that would be paid for, an example of this would be a chili supper at an elementary school to help pay for some playground equipment or to do some good thing for the community or the school, that you would no longer be allowed to prepare food in the home kitchens of the marvelous cooks who exist in every crook and cranny of this state and be able to bring it together and sell it to each other to raise money for those good causes. In some places, they have interfered. In my community, a small rural community, the local ladies club traditionally provides meals for funerals. In most areas of the state, that has been interfered with. But in certain cases, and certain inspectors in certain situations have said that the only way that those meals can be prepared and served is if they are all prepared in a certified and licensed and inspected kitchen, which many of our communities do not have. And even if they did, I think you can imagine the uproar that has been heard statewide. I know that I have been lobbied more effectively by the good, generally, ladies of my community than, and I think my colleagues can attest to similar situations in other areas of the state, where when you are confronted by a room full or a building full of irritated women, it gets your attention. So what this bill does is it simply says that for all of these traditional events or activities, doesn't matter whether it's hazardous food or non-hazardous food, you can continue to provide those things that you always have without interference by state or county officials. And makes it clear. So if you're looking through the bill on page 2, we start into the definitions, and you will notice that after the definition of traditional event or activity, that on line 18, we designate that can be for family or non-paying guests. So this isn't going to affect the current regulations and inspections and certifications that are in place for bed and breakfasts or dude ranches or any of those things. It defines what these are, allows them for weddings, funerals, potluck dinners, and functions, and it allows on the top of page 3 for the sale of donated foods, which are prepared for consumption, and the sales are sponsored by a nonprofit entity as a fundraiser to support its purposes. There was a committee amendment which added the language on page 2, line 20. After dinners, it inserted charitable dinners and charitable cook-offs. That was to address some situations that had been happening where communities were having an annual chili cook-off, and the department defined that event so narrowly that they could not be a temporary event because it happened annually, therefore it wasn't temporary. So this just says if it's for a charitable purpose, then that can also be included. Goes on to indicate that you can have these things at outdoor activities, and also that you can provide kitchen equipment to your employees if you choose, and that also qualifies so long as it's for employees and non-paying guests. So that pretty much takes care of the definitions, and then we get into the purpose of the act in mid of page 3, and what it says there, just notwithstanding any other provisions of the law, that there shall be no licensure, permitting, certification, inspection, packaging, or labeling required by any state governmental agency or any agency of any political subdivision of the state which pertains to the preparation, serving, use, consumption, or storage of foods at a traditional event or activity. Might point out that the reason that we have included things like packaging or labeling is several years ago we passed a cottage food measure which allowed people to make non-hazardous food. This is bake sale safe food, cookies, cakes, pies, jams, and jellies in your home kitchen, and that you could sell those at a farmer's market. After the passage of that, certain inspection regimes in some communities approached religious organizations and informed them that, yes, they could make cookies in their home kitchen, but not only did they have to label them with every ingredient that was in the cookie, they also had to include the source and ingredients of each ingredient. So in most cases, these women threw up their arms and refused to have, you know, just didn't have those events. So those communities were deprived of those opportunities. At this point, Mr. Chairman, I think it is the appropriate time to move and explain the Standing Committee Amendment.
Please proceed, Representative. Chairman Semlick, if you'd like to explain the Standing Committee Amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 8 and ask for your favorable consideration. It's a two-part amendment. The first part goes into page 2, line 20. Good representative from House District 58 has already discussed what that amendment basically does. It adds to the definitions in for the types of activities that are considered traditional activities or events, not only weddings, funerals, potluck dinners, but also charitable dinners and charitable cook-offs. The second part of the amendment really responds to some testimony that we had when we heard this bill up in committee with regard to some events that are being held around the state ask for assistance from public health officials as to recommendations on how to conduct the event to make it safe. So we did not want to preclude them from being able to continue to do that. So the second part of the amendment inserts on page 3, line 22. It talks about that there shall be no licensure, permitting, certification, inspection, etc., by any state governmental agency. Our amendment adds on to that to the end. Nothing in this article shall preclude an agency from providing assistance, consultation, or inspection when requested by the traditional event or activity organizer. So those organizations out there who are having these types of events would like to have those types of consultation. We just want to make sure it was clear that they obviously could do that. So I'd ask for your favorable consideration of this Standing Committee Amendment Number 1. Thank you.
Is there discussion on the Standing Committee Amendment? Question being called. All in favor of the Standing Committee Amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, the House Bill 8 has passed. We're back in the bill. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this bill. A number of years ago, we were being inundated at our Meet Your Legislator days by these very groups that the good speaker has just identified. We contacted her knowing she was starting to work on this and asked her to do this, and I think she's done a great job, and I'd like to commend her for doing this. And the heat is off even before the bill passes. The heat seems to be off because the legislature seems to have got somebody's attention in some of the state agencies. So I rise in support of the bill and ask your favorable consideration.
Representative Laux.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to ask you all to vote in favor of this bill. The Ag Committee worked this bill very hard. We heard testimony from many, many people for and against. Some things that were said that were so far-fetched, you know, this is what America is about, and you know, we need to be able to do these things. The fundraisers are a big deal in our community. They were unable to do some things at the college. The nursing program used to raise money through bake sales and stuff, and this is just, it's a good piece of legislation. I just urge you all to vote in favor of it. Thank you very much.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the good bringer of the bill. Certainly a tradition in our area, absolutely a traditional event, the fair, the Park County Fair, and fair food. People go over, migrate for fair food. I'm wondering, are the purveyors, the servers of fair food covered in this, some of which are for-profit activities, some of which are just good fundraisers for a local club. But how does the fair food booth rate in this particular bill? Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The enterprises that you are considering are currently inspected and certified under several different sections of the current law and rules and regulations. There is a certification and licensing for a temporary food event. There's also licensing and certification for mobile food units. Depending on exactly the context and how often, whether they're in the regular business of providing this and just move around, or whether they are in a stationary spot, this bill would not affect that at all. All this deals with are those things that are defined as traditional events separate from those things that are already licensed and certified. Just to give you an example of the kind of ludicrous situations that people have been encountering, we had our local high school, whatever they call home economics these days, career and technical kids, culinary kids, who prepared salsa, fresh salsa, in the school's absolutely beautiful, pristine, state-of-the-art culinary kitchen, and brought it down to the farmer's market to sell, and the department stepped in and said that that was absolutely not allowed because they were not a certified and licensed and inspected facility. So.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to stand for this bill. As a business owner, we used to have in the summertime every single Saturday, we would grill burgers and hot dogs and give them away to customers as just a thank you for coming into our shop. And we got shut down and fined for trying to share with customers. And I love the fact that this bill includes non-paying guests. So if it passes, we will be able to thank our customers by providing them with free burgers and hot dogs again if we so choose.
Any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All in favor of Chairman Semlich's motion when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so the recommendation that House Bill 8 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 8 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not often I get to stand here and
welcome somebody from Sweetwater County, the garden spot of Wyoming. But today we have Chief Deputy Clerk Vicki Easton in the West Gallery. Please give her a hand. Thank you.
Representative McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also would like the opportunity, privilege of the floor, please.
Granted.
In the balcony behind me, we also have our county clerk from Lincoln County, number two, is Jeannie Wagner, and her deputy county clerk, April Brunsky. Would you please welcome them?
The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 74. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 74, introduced by Representative Peterson, an act relating to marriage, validity of marriages. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, No, Connolly, Freeman, signed Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that House Bill 74 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Members of the body, the Standing Committee Amendment essentially closes an inadvertent loophole that was created by the bill that would nullify the bill. So I would ask you to please adopt the Standing Committee Amendment, and then we can vote the bill up or vote the bill down, but the bill simply will not work without the amendment. The second half of the Standing Committee Amendment makes the bill active immediately upon all completions and acts. So with that explanation, I would call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment, and then I will turn the bill over to the sponsor.
You've heard the question on the Standing Committee Amendment. All those in favor, please say aye. All opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment 1 has passed. We're back on the bill.
And thank you, Mr. Chairman. I turn the sponsorship of the bill over to the good sponsor from the Bridger Valley.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow representatives, I bring House Bill 74. And as already mentioned, one Standing Committee Amendment, which we've already approved, before the legislature. To understand exactly what we're doing here, it will be best if I go a little bit of policy, a little bit of history on what the public policy has been concerning the marriage relationship in the state of Wyoming. The question comes, why do I bring House Bill 74, titled Validity of Marriages, to the 61st Legislature? This legislation is being presented at the request of many constituents, emails from across the state of Wyoming, the continued expression of Wyoming's longstanding policy concerning marriages, and the need for clarification of two critical statutes that govern domestic relations law in the state of Wyoming. If we look back in 1876, the territorial legislature established public policy concerning marriage when they enacted Wyoming Statute 20-1-101, which specifies that marriage is a civil contract between a male and a female person to which the consent of the parties capable of contracting is essential. The legislature also established public policy in 1876 concerning foreign marriages when they enacted Wyoming Statute 20-1-111, which reads, all marriage contracts which are valid by the laws of the country in which or which contracted are valid in this state. Over 100 years, these two statutes have expressed Wyoming policy towards marriages and guided the citizens and others who work with the marriage matters, attorneys, courts, clerks, and citizens of the state of Wyoming knew exactly where they stood. I submit the question arises when you look at these statutes, why would the territorial legislature enact the statute which specifies marriage should be between a man and a woman? They realized the many benefits this marriage relationship contributed to society, families, children, and economic well-being of the state. I could stand here and cite many benefits of the man-wife marriage relationship as proven by multiple Reliance studies, but I have elected to distribute a handout for your review. That handout has my initials on the top and 19. I direct your attention to that. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is not all inclusive. These are various studies that's been performed, spells the benefits and the things that's contained therein. So you can look at that at your leisure. I do not want to elaborate on that because you can read and study that as you please. During the 48 years my wife and I have been married, we, along with our 3 children and 10 grandchildren, express appreciation to the territorial legislature, which had the foresight to establish Wyoming's marriage public policy. Now, Mr. Chairman, there are certain states in our American society, and I submit possibly countries, which have given legal recognition to marriages which are between members of the same sex. Now, this same-sex marriage relationship raises issues with our long-established public policy in Wyoming concerning marriages between a man and a woman. The best way I can bring this to understanding of the body is to look at a hypothetical situation. If a marriage is performed between members of the same sex in a state that recognizes such, that is a valid marriage. These individuals then move in to the state of Wyoming. As time goes on during the course of events, and of course, things can change in life. We all know that. The 2 individuals decide perhaps they should pursue divorce. They approach an attorney that specializes or works with domestic relations matters. The attorney looks at the statutory structure we just talked about, the 2 statutes, says, yes, this is a foreign marriage, but Wyoming law says only between a man and a woman. Quandary comes up. Attorneys have an affirmative duty to advise their clients of the applicable law and what kind of course would be best interest for them to pursue. So, decision is made in concert with the clients to file for the divorce. The divorce is filed in appropriate court in the state of Wyoming, and then it comes up before the presiding judge. The judge looks at this, and this could very well be the case. He is not certain of what is happening here because there's a conflict also that arises for him to look at. And he can do different things with the case, but in all probability, the most logical path that he will choose is to refer it perhaps to the Supreme Court. And that is a logical choice. Then the Supreme Court receives it. Supreme Court can do various things with that case too. They can make law, which is legislating from the bench, or take other course of action. If they legislate from the bench, that is one of the things that we certainly would not like to have happen. We have the responsibility of establishing policy in our statutes, have the responsibility of meeting the needs of the people of Wyoming, whatever that may entail and how that may proceed. If we allowed our responsibility to bypass of establishing and going forward with the statutory construction, then I submit to all of us here on this floor, we may have problems with other legislation, and we may want to go out that door, shut the lights, and let the other branch of government handle these matters. But that's not the case. That would be the extreme that we look at. Now, Mr. Chairman, I submit that House Bill 74, Validity of Marriages, continues our well-established marriage public policy. I would direct the body's attention to House Bill 74 at this time. The bill consists of 3 pages. Page number 1, lines 1 through 8, delineate the respective things that this bill proposes to do. Looking at this, we see that this bill, if it's enacted, provides that marriages other than between a man and a female person are void, providing that marriages between more than 2 persons are void, specifying that Wyoming courts do not have jurisdiction over any domestic legal union involving parties who are not a male and female person, and where there are more than two parties to the contract. Section 1 delineates the applicable statutory construction that we're going to work with. Let us focus on page 2. It addresses the foreign marriage provision that we have in law at the present time. And looking at that, starting on page or on line 3, we read, all marriage contracts which are valid by the laws of the state or country in which contracted are valid in this state, provided that such marriage contracts are between a male and a female person. Now, the Standing Committee Amendment modified 3 words here. It removed state of and country, and it inserted jurisdiction, and that made sense. That's a very positive thing, and I certainly support that. So it reads, of the jurisdiction in which contracted are valid, provided they're between a man and a woman. Now, that coincides, dovetails, and supports Statute 20-101 that has been standing since territorial days. We look at Statute 20-2-101, and you're going to see here we did an additive. This bill proposes an additive. It's on line 14, where it says, marriages contracted in Wyoming are void without any decree or divorce when the parties are not a male and a female person, or, on 17, when there are more than two parties to the contract. That's what's being proposed. Now we look at line 20. Now I'll pause here just a minute. Line 20 talks about jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is a crucial component to what we're doing here because the judiciary needs instruction here. Residents need to know what's going on in the state. Clerks who have to issue licenses and are involved with this process need to have clarification. So we look at line 20. It says, no Wyoming court shall have jurisdiction over any domestic legal union or relationship, titled marriage or otherwise, involving parties who are not a male and a female person, or when there are more than two parties to the contract. Now, fellow representatives, those are the substantive provisions of House Bill 74 that governs, clarifies, and adds continuing concepts here with Wyoming's marriage public policy. If you look at page 3, you see there that there are no fiscal notes. This does not require an appropriation or any kind of monetary activity for this to be enacted. And as pointed out in the Standing Committee Amendment, the Act is effective immediately upon completion of the various events to make this law. Why was that so? Because if we wait, once the lights are out, the doors are closed, and we're home somewhere around the 6th of March, between that time frame and when this may become law, other cases can arise. It raises questions. It can be a burden to the court, uncertainty in the minds of the parties that's involved, which I feel for, and also the domestic relations attorneys that are working in these various issues. Now, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my discussion of the bill, the need for it, a bit of the historical, and where we're at today with Wyoming law concerning marriages. I and the other 7 co-sponsors at this time stand ready to address any matters pertaining to this bill which may become before the body. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I relinquish the phone or the speaker.
Chairman Ellaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against House Bill 74. We already have a statute, 20-1-101, marriage is a civil contract. We have a constitution. And I think you all need to remember what this state's called. It's called the Equality State. So let me read you a couple pieces out of the Constitution, which if you have not taken a look at your Constitution, I would urge you to do so. The preamble says, "We, the people of the state of Wyoming, grateful to God for our civil, political, and religious liberties, and desiring to secure them to ourselves and perpetuate them to our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution." Article 1, Section 3, Equal Political Rights. Since equality in the enjoyment of natural and civil rights is only made sure through political equality, the laws of this state affecting the political rights and privileges of its citizens shall be without distinction of race, color, sex, or any circumstances or condition whatsoever, other than individual incompetency or unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction. And Article 6, Section 1 says, "Male and female citizens to enjoy equal rights. The rights of the citizens of the state of Wyoming to vote and hold office shall not be denied or abridged on account of sex. Both male and female citizens of this state shall equally enjoy all civil, political, and religious rights and privileges."
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just had some questions for the sponsor of the bill and potential second reading amendments if this bill moves on. In particular, I want to talk about on page 2, line 1 through 6 on the foreign marriages. With the standing committee amendment, it took out state or, and it deleted country too and made it jurisdiction. My difficulty is that originally the statute read or country, or just country. And then the title of that whole statute is foreign marriages. With the word country there and with the title not being changed, I think by the standing committee amendment just saying jurisdiction, I mean, I guess I would interpret that almost to mean that's only applicable to foreign nations, not to other states. It was my understanding that what you were attempting to do was deal with other states. And then I heard that the reason they went to a jurisdiction, they were concerned about District of Columbia. There's actually a in the statute, how we normally deal with that is to say state, commonwealth, territory, district, or possession of the United States. So I guess that was my first question, if the sponsor would be okay on second reading, maybe changing that to include all of those, which may make it actually read a little better. And actually, it may work better if we had two separate statutes, one for foreign nations and one for other states and commonwealth territories. So it was clear what was being said was that what this bill is trying to do is say marriages from other states and other countries will not be recognized in this state. So that was my first question, if there was a maybe a better way of wording that. My other one had more to do with down on page 2, line 20 through 24. My concern there is I see the no Wyoming court shall have jurisdiction over any domestic legal union. I assume that means like a civil union that they have in some states, and maybe if we actually use the actual term that's used in other states, civil union. And then later in that same sentence it says titled marriage. So those two make sense to me, the civil union, the titled marriage. It's the relationship, the word relationship that concerns me, and the word otherwise. And here's why. Presently in the state of Wyoming, even if you have a heterosexual couple, they're living together. They're not married, but a lot of times you have a lot of property that needs to be divided up, or you actually have debts that need to be divided up. And that has to be handled through a court of law still, and you just do it through something, you know, similar to a palimony suit where you go in and say, we were living together, you know, I want my couch back and I want the microwave or whatever. And then the judge decides. I was concerned because, you know, there are couples that are same sex that live together in the state of Wyoming that are not married. Would this prohibit, so let's say they decide to break up,
could they not go to court now, you know, to divide up property and assets and debt? So maybe on second reading, maybe relationship and otherwise could come out to just make it flow better, if that was the intent. Those are just my two statutory-type structural questions to the sponsor, and maybe you could answer those later in the discussion.
Representative Zwanitz or Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Against the bill, and we talked a little bit about responsibility of us as a policymaking body, and I just want to talk about you know, the responsibility on this bill. And without any emotion or being impartial, I would like us all to treat this bill like any other bill that comes before us. And sometimes because of the political ramifications of this, we seem to throw out the common sense and the protocol and our duty to be impartial on policy when we look at this legislation and know the facts before we act. So the bill before us invalidates contracts made in another state. But do we know how many of these contracts exist in our state? No. Is anyone ever bringing the bill after it's been here for 10 years, done the research to find out? No. Do we know how many of the 122 statutes in our laws that deal in marriage area, you know, relate to these people, relate to their children they may have, relate to the contracts they think they believe they have at this time? No. We've never done a study. We've never had an interim committee meeting on it. Never seen any data. There's three other states who have the same, you know, same law in the books we have where you can't get married with the same-sex couple in that state, but they recognize foreign marriages. Have we talked to those states to see how, you know, they're dealing with this issue? I didn't hear any testimony, never have, that we do. So it seems interesting to me that in every other aspect of this legislature that I've been in for 7 years, you know, you can't get a water right or change the color of a classroom without going through three studies, five people, and $10,000 to see what we're going to do on it. But on this one, we're just shoving it right through. And I guess I would ask why that is, and for you all to think about why that is, and are we doing our due diligence as legislators that we give to every other piece of legislation in this body before we make a very, very command and very, very meaningful for a lot of people decision that's going to affect a lot of lives? And I would submit to you, we don't even know how many lives that are, that is in our state currently this time. So if somebody who's a co-sponsor of this bill would please bring me an explanation and tell me that we have done our due diligence and we know how many of these contracts exist and we know what's going to happen when this bill does, because I haven't heard the answer to any of those questions, and I think this is going to wreak havoc if we let it pass. So I'd ask you to vote no, but stand for questions to see if someone can convince me that, you know, we're treating this like everything else. Thanks.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Majority Whip, on and against the bill, and let's be very clear about this, very clear. My daughter is gay. However, she lives in the state of Montana, and the state of Montana has a law that says a marriage between, or marriage is between a man and a woman. So by no means are the bills going to impact her currently. And I'm not up here talking trying to increase her rights. What I'm talking about is what I've learned about the gay and lesbian community over the years, and long before I knew my daughter was gay, I've been looking at this issue because, you know, as a boring old engineer, I try to get in my mind what makes them different. And I really feel like my conclusion is, you know, they're born that way, number one. They're born that way, and their brain just happens to be working different than mine is. I've been married for 48 years. I have three children, three grandchildren. Here's a picture of two of them. And the other one I've shown many times. And just so happens, the father of these two children wanted to get married or have an anniversary on the same anniversary as mine, which is September 1st, or my wife and I, excuse me. So what did they do in the state of Washington? He got somebody to come in and legally sign off that he and his wife were married. Contract, civil contract. And then that weekend, after September the 1st, they went through a religious ceremony, and that union was recognized as a religious issue. And that even confirmed my thoughts in another way, that we need to separate civil union and marriage. Because what's in our statute, as the previous speaker just said, probably 100 things, if he didn't say it, it's true, at least from what I've seen, there's over 100 things in there that says marriage this, marriage that, and gives them some legal rights. So we have in our statutes that, to me, muddles the issue for those that choose to have a civil union between whether it's a man and a woman, two men, or two women. And I think we need to eventually do that. This bill says an act relating to marriage, providing that marriage other than of a male and a female are void. So we're just stepping in there saying, uh-uh, that isn't going to be allowed. Providing that marriages between more than two parties are void. You know, I'll have to admit that multiple unions are, to me, a problem. But, however, my brain doesn't work that way. And just like my brain doesn't work that way, that I'm attracted to a man. My daughter is attracted to another woman, not another man. In fact, interestingly, when she grew up, the young man that she dated in high school, turns out they find out 10 years later, they're both gay. One thing about it, that young man's parents didn't accept him. I accepted my daughter because she's a good person. But anyway, I could read on about the introduction's bill, but, you know, it's interesting that we're going to step in and impact and take away the rights of a union between two men or two women that, quite frankly, I think, because of their makeup in their mind, that's what they do, and we're going to say, no, you can't do it. And one of the other speakers, the good representative from District 42, he just read a number of things in the Constitution that says, we're an equality state. This bill is not recognizing equality, not in any way, form, or fashion. You can talk about all those attachments that are on there, but it's not recognizing what's in the Constitution. It's taking away somebody's rights. What did we do just do with the previous bill? We gave these people some rights to be able to prepare food as they have for many years. Then why do we want to take away the rights from other people? On and against the bill.
Representative Gay.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask further speakers on this bill to respect my proper name and please use the term homosexual where it applies?
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to do two things. I really, really, really respect the Constitution of the state of Wyoming and of the United States of America. Our founding fathers did something absolutely remarkable when they set forth a document that says there are God-given rights that every single one of us have. They don't come from the government. Government does not have the ability to give us rights. We have rights. And these constitutions limit the power of government. They don't limit the rights, our God-given rights. That's what the Constitution is for. Besides the ones that have already been noted, I want to call your attention to six different pieces in the Wyoming Constitution that directly apply to this situation. Article 1, Section 2, equality for all. In their inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal. Section 7, absolute arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even in the largest majority. Not even in the largest majority. Section 10. Actually, I'm just going to skip over to Section 29. No distinction shall ever be made by law between resident aliens and citizens as to the possession, taxation, enjoyment, and descent of property. Aliens, in my understanding, means anybody outside of the state of Wyoming. Section 36. The enumeration in this Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny, impair, or disparage others retained by the people. And finally, Section 37. Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. The state of Wyoming is an inseparable part of the federal union, and the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of the land. And in the Article 4, Section 1 of the United States Constitution, it says that full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and general proceedings of every other state. So here we're talking about a contract, a civil contract. And I challenge you, and I don't think that you will be able to find another instance in any other area where any state has successfully said, we will not honor the contracts of another state. So it is my feeling that this measure is unconstitutional on every single one of those and many more reasons. And then finally, I just want to tell you a little bit about my campaign and the reason that I'm sitting with you today. I was targeted by a prominent organization in this state that seeks to deprive certain citizens of the rights that we have in our Constitution based on their choice of partners and mates, to the point that even though by their own reckoning I agreed with them on 80% of their issues, and yet I was the only politician who was devoted to a web page all of my own, and a concerted effort with two opponents in the primary and another opponent in the general who tried to make my campaign about a single issue, this issue. Even though I just see it as sort of a foregone conclusion. We have our laws. We respect our laws. They're working well, as near as I can tell. I had to deal with this a lot. And in the end, I came out of that election with 60% of the vote. So I just put that out there as kind of a reminder that I have been told by some of my colleagues that I'm going to vote for this because it's what my constituents want. I will tell you that I'm standing here living proof that that might not be the case. Thank you.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the 61st, I want to take you back to one of the most prideful days of my life. It's when I was sworn in. When I took the oath of office and I rose my right hand and I solemnly swore to support, obey, defend the Constitution of the state of Wyoming. And every day I walk into this room and I look up at the sky and I see the state seal, I'm very proud. When I look at the state seal behind the speaker, I'm very proud. And those aren't just words. They're not just words to me. I take them very seriously. This is not just a book. I take it very seriously. Now let's say there was another state that wanted to pass a law to make the marriage between a man and a woman an illegal contract. Do you think that would cause me to love my wife any less? No. Let's say my company transferred me to that state. And I had no choice because this was the way I had to support my family. I would still love my wife. And that marriage contract between me and my wife, no matter what law any state passed, would still be in my heart what I believe. So when I stand up here and I take an oath of office to defend this book, I take it very seriously. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I stand on and for the bill. And I just want to address an argument that's come up that I don't think is completely valid, and that is the argument that effectively the state doesn't have a right to regulate marriage because people have a right to do what they want or choose whom they have to marry. And I think we need to carry that argument to the logical conclusion. If that is the statement, that's where we need to go, then I think we need to just do away with the state having any authority over marriage at all. Because if you're arguing about the right to marry whom you want, anyone can marry who they want, I don't see a difference between allowing two men to marry, two women to marry, between allowing somebody to have multiple husbands or multiple wives, between allowing cousins to marry, brothers and sister to marry. I guess I don't see a distinction of being able to say, well, the state has a right to draw a line here but not here. Well, we'll move the line here. I think either the state has a right to define marriage and contract marriage because it is a party in the contracts, or it does not. But to try to move that line, I believe, is an inconsistent argument to say that, well, we should allow homosexual marriage but not allow polygamy or anything else. If people have a right to marry whomever they want, then the state has no control over marriage, and I think that's the decision that we need to make.
Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also, when I come here, want to stand up for this book, our Constitution. And I'd like to point out a couple things that previous speaker, talked about equality for all, and the previous, two before, said the same thing. Well, I stand for the Constitution. And this Constitution was written. We had a territorial in 1869, kind of one of these. And then in 1890, we made this book. And this book is what we go by. Well, now I'd like to pull our statute up. And our statute that we also go by was written in 18, 97, I believe. And let me read you what it said. So this book says equality for all. And the statute that we are referring in 1890-something, 21-1-101, marriage is a civil contract between a man and a female person to which the consent of the parties capable of contracting is essential. So I'm a little bit miffed by the fact that we're saying we stand up for this book that was written at about the same time we're standing up for our statutes. I see no contradiction between the two. I think they were standing up for marriage between a man and a woman, and somebody's going to have to tell me a little bit different about these two. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wasn't going to speak today on this bill, and I will be brief. I know we're all hungry. I know our good friends on committee number two have much work to do and will soon be leaving. But I have to first comment a little bit on the handout that was provided, because there are statements in there that I think affect the class that I belong to, considered a suspect class, the class of women. There are studies that contradict everything that's on this handout, but I would just like to give a personal contradiction to a couple of the statements. If you look on the back, it said marriage is essential to society, and two of the categories are, and I've shared my views on this with the good sponsor of the bill, and I want to share them with you. Marriage is for the socialization of men and the protection of women. The protection of women. I was 33 when I married. I was financially independent. I had traveled around the world by myself, lived in a dangerous foreign country by myself, lived in a bad neighborhood in one of our largest cities in the country by myself. I did not marry my husband for protection. So as we consider this issue, let's look at the real public policy issues. And I would subscribe to you, there is no legitimate public policy reason for us to be spending this much time on this issue. And so, again, I will be brief, but I want to make one other point. Of course, we are elected to represent our constituents. And that means we represent all of our constituents. And that doesn't mean we always do what the majority of our constituents want, because part of our obligation is to protect the rights of the minority. And we are talking about a very small minority here in Wyoming. The numbers aren't clear, but we're not talking about a lot of people. But each one of us has constituents who fall into the class attacked, and I mean attacked, by this bill. That's all it's about. It's about picking on people who are different. And we are here to protect all of our constituents, to stand up for all of their rights. And if you think that this bill is about anything other than attacking a minority, we can trump up all the public policy reasons that marriage is not about protecting women. Certainly, and even in my case, was not about socializing men. His mom and dad raised him right, and I really didn't have much to do with his socialization. Thank you.
Representative Peasley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I didn't co-sponsor this bill, and I recognize that it lends to a lot of this sort of debate. But, Mr. Chairman, the unkindest cut of all, the cruelest thing you can say to somebody is that they're doing this because they're cruel. And to point a finger back at the makers of this bill and accuse them of all the things I've heard today, and I certainly heard last time we debated this, I think is reprehensible. When you think about it this way, let's just back up a little bit and see what's happened. And maybe recognize this as that last outpost in our culture where a group of people has said, please,
let us be what we've always been. You've come in and we cannot define a family anymore. You just can't do it. You can't even buy the light bulb or the toilet you'd like because of what we've done. We can't even define a national language without being cruel to somebody. We can't even define who comes into our country without being cruel. And if we don't pass another law on one thing or another, we're being cruel to another group. This is not about cruelty. This is not about being mean. And it's disingenuous to say that, they're made this way and I understand that, but I sure don't understand this thing about multiple marriages. It is all the same. A polygamist, the gentleman that wrote Proverbs, I think if he came to town with his 900 brides and his 1,200 concubines and sought a divorce, I'm kind of wondering, do we need to recognize the 900? Well, I don't think we do. I think all this is an outpost in culture that says, listen, I realize you're destroying everything else that I have. You've gotten involved in the raising of my children, the way I discipline them, the way I feed them, whether or not I can smoke in the car with them, and whether or not I have to have them properly equipped when they go out. You've just gotten into my life so much. Let's just let me define the relationship I'm in, okay? And then you can move on with your definitions. You can tromp all over everything else and create every other kind of relationship you want. But listen, we've done this for a few thousand years. Would you just please let us be man and wife, be a marriage? Now, if you want to have civil unions, you want to have multi-party contracts with complex marriage relationships, fine. Everything you need to do, do it. This is not striking out. It is simply a preemptive effort to say, leave us where we thought we were before you busybodies started tearing everything down. And I don't see that as being cruel. And I can't believe we get up here and accuse the people that are trying to do this of cruelty. It isn't cruel. Just defining something doesn't make you cruel. And I'm sorry, but each time this happens, it was like when we're trying to turn back the federal intrusion into the medical profession. Just what they did created such confusion as we tried to push back and say, no, we just as soon you not get involved with me and my doctor. When we tried to push back, suddenly we were instantly being cruel with people that were going to be benefited by that program. Every time we try to push back. So this is not about cruelty. This is about a few of us lonely old people out here that want to know what kind of relationship we're in, and please define it and let us at least have what we thought we had and then move on with the society and the brave new world that you've envisioned. So I think let's keep the dialogue at least fair. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Breckel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The state has a vested interest in children and their welfare. They are the future and the growth of our state. This issue is not about singling out a group or a lifestyle. It's about respecting an institution, traditional marriage, and openness to life. Children come from a man and a woman. Traditional wisdom has continued to hold for many, many, many years that children develop best in the setting of a mom and a dad. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On and against this bill. Obviously, friends, this isn't easy for me to be up here. We are in a brave new world, as one of the previous speakers talked about. But let's talk about this bill. You'll have to forgive me. I have notes today. This bill's purpose is to deny married same-sex couples that move to Wyoming from other states the same basic rights that heterosexual couples from other states have when they move to Wyoming. It's not simply about closing loopholes. There's no polygamy in the United States that needs to be legislated against. But there are marriages in other jurisdictions, such as common law ones, that aren't performed here. This bill doesn't do anything about those. And for good reasons. If it did, Wyoming would be opening itself up to enormous mischief by violating the principles of the full faith and credit clause of the Constitution. The principle that one state will extend certain courtesies to others. Part of the presumption of comity is that other jurisdictions will reciprocate the courtesy shown to them. If we start rejecting the domestic relations law of Iowa, Massachusetts, Vermont, D.C., Connecticut, Canada, South Africa, Israel, and so on, will they start rejecting Wyoming marriages? So let's be clear. This is a bill solely intended to target same-sex marriages and unions. So why is this a bad bill? Let's begin by acknowledging that gays and lesbians exist and have forever. We all know that. And many of us are skilled, and some are now married to same-sex partners. And so let's talk about the real impacts on Wyoming. For example, we want to recruit the best and the brightest to Wyoming as we both strengthen and diversify our economy. Isn't it possible that among those that we want to recruit for these positions are gay and lesbian individuals and couples? And isn't it possible, and honestly very likely, that this legislation will restrict our abilities to recruit and retain those individuals and families? I know, for example, in my other job, I've been asked to help recruit and then retain some top-notch scientists that we want at the university by making the argument that this is a good and safe place for GLBT members. Data indicates that there are thousands of gays and lesbians in this state and same-sex couples now in every county, but we really don't know how many have married in other jurisdictions and how this bill would affect them, as another speaker had pointed out. Let's face it, folks, marriage is a fundamental right, and it's always been interesting to me to talk about fundamental rights in my classrooms, because there is no nice place in the Constitution that defines what a fundamental right is. All right? But what it is something that we hold intrinsic to what it means to be human in the United States and in this state. And one of those fundamental rights is the right to marriage. We know that in the United States, that states have limited marriage in different ways. And one of those ways, one of those embarrassing, horrific ways that we have seen fit to change were the laws that said that individuals of different races couldn't marry. The Supreme Court ruled that unconstitutional, and all of us nod our heads and say, yes, that's a good decision. We are entering a brave new world where we're part of a national conversation now about that fundamental right to marry, and that being with same-sex couples. I asked a question in committee to the proponents of the bill based on this hypothetical. This bill voids marriages when they're not between a man and a woman. So what happens when a same-sex couple, let's say traveling in Wyoming, cross I-80, something happens to them, and that what happens to them invokes one of the thousand rights, duties, and obligations that comes with marriage. Let's say it's in relationship to hospital visitation or, God forbid, an untimely death that happens in Wyoming. What then? Does this bill then say that their relationship is void? The bringer of this bill answered yes, that was his intent. His attorney said, well, maybe not, but then later came up to me and said, yes, that is in fact the intent of the bill. That married gay and lesbian couples won't be recognized in this state for whatever reason. If they have an accident, if they need to use a hospital, let's say they own property. Let's say they have children. This bill says that those relationships won't be recognized. How can this be? Can you imagine if you were traveling in another state and your marriage performed in Wyoming was no longer valid? As so many pointed out on the committee hearing on Monday, it was Martin Luther King Day. We could not ignore the irony of talking about equality on such a day. A few years ago, I visited the National Civil Rights Museum in Memphis, where they turned the Lorraine Motel, the place where Dr. Martin Luther King was shot, into a fascinating overview of civil rights in this nation. One of the last rooms in the museum was dedicated to the frontiers of civil rights, and it was about gay rights, and it featured Wyoming and the death of Matthew Shepard. As many on the House floor have said in the past, this is a civil rights issue of our day. And some of you have told me personally that you find me brave for standing here before you. And admittedly, while I am nervous and vulnerable, I'm not so sure that I'm brave. But I think some of you are. And I was thinking about this last night. A friend reminded me of one of the millions of wonderful quotations by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and I want to share it with you. Cowardice asks the question, is it safe? Expediency asks the question, is it politic? But conscience asks the question, is it right? And there comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe nor politic nor popular, because conscience tells one that it's right. And to me, making such a decision, that's bravery. And that's the challenge for us today. Obviously, this is an intimate and personal issue to me. I'm your friend, your neighbor, your colleague here in the legislature. I am among other gay and lesbian individuals, couples, and gay and lesbian parents with children in Wyoming. I moved to Wyoming almost 19 years ago with my then partner and our 6-year-old son. We raised him here with 2 legal mothers. Wyoming did not fall apart. We invoked many of our institutions. Right? We were the parents at every school function. We were the mothers at 8 a.m. soccer games. We were the mothers who cooked the spaghetti dinner for the entire county, and I'm not sure how that relates to the last bill. I could have been in trouble, honestly. Right. You know, raising funds to send our kids to D.C. for National History Day. Wyoming didn't fall apart because of us and the other gay and lesbian parents and individuals and couples in the state. Nor will it fall apart with the recognition of other GLBT relationships. While the push for marriage equality is simply about making the day-to-day lives of same-sex couples and our families manageable and secure in areas like Social Security and hospital visitation, to me, this bill says that GLBT individuals and families in this state, that we don't want you and your family to be able to order and manage your life like the rest of us. And I urge you to resist such a meaningless, meaningless gesture. Right now, we're part of a national conversation about same-sex marriages. This bill does nothing to help an individual. It does nothing to help a family. It doesn't help our communities. It doesn't help our pristine environment. It does nothing to increase economic development. It does not create one job. It does not make our communities more safe. It does not help anyone. It violates our principles of live and let live and our motto of the equality state. And for that reason, I ask you to vote no, a vote that stands for equality, justice, not bigotry. Thank you.
Speaker Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be brief. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a policy decision right now. You either need to decide that you're
you're fine or for same-sex marriage, or you want marriage to be defined between a man and a woman. That's the way our statutes define marriage right now, but our statutes are inconsistent. If you want to keep the definition of marriage between a man and a woman, you need to vote for this bill to make your statutes consistent. If you don't believe that, then vote against it, and we've got other bills that you'll be considering later on in the session that will ordain same-sex marriage. That's the issue. That's the crux. That's why this bill is before you, because we have conflicting statutes. Either fix it or you don't.
Question being called. All those in favor of Rep. Teeter's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, adduce the recommendation that House Bill 74 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no.
No.
Division being called. All in favor of this piece of legislation, please stand up. Keep standing. If you'd sit down behind the glass if you're not voting for this. Thank you. In favor of it. House Bill 74 is passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again at 2:15 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? So carried. Chairman Elway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now in House 18. We'll take up House Bill 137, continued from a previous meeting, Private Transfer Fee Obligations, House Bill 46, Campaign Funds Personal Use, House Bill 136, Appointments to County Commissioner Vacancy, and if there's time, House Bill 81, Vacant Land.
Chairman Childers.
Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Friday morning, January 21st at 8 a.m. in room H11 to consider the following bills. House Bill 34, Sales and Use Tax Distributions. House Bill 143, Manufacturing Tax Exemptions. House Bill 138, Public Funds, Time, Deposits, Open Accounts, Interest Rate.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick reminder that right now up in room 302, there's a demonstration on the WildLink system as well as the light lunch. And then, Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 8, Transportation and Military Affairs, will meet 10 minutes today after adjournment this afternoon. We will be hearing House Bill 124, National Guard Emergency Deployment Professional Licensing, House Bill 41, Driving Within a Single Lane, House Bill 96, Motor Vehicles Passing Bicycles. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, too, will meet at 12:30 to continue the budget.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning in room H18 to hear the following four bills. House Bill 25, Eminent Domain Wind Collector Systems. House Bill 70, Eminent Domain Wind Energy Facilities and Collector Systems 2. And if time allows, House Bill 48, Placement of Wind Energy Facilities, and House Bill 91, Torrington Prison Wind Produced Electric Service.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 6, Travel, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H10 to consider the following bill. House Bill 102, State Common School Trust Land Management Account.
All right. The House will be in recess until 2:15.